Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with
Tony Gittins, Director, Washington, D.C. Film Festival.
In town here from April 25th to May 5th. Tony, thanks so much for coming in. Always great having you in here.
Oh, it's always good seeing you. I don't see you enough.
What year? That's what everyone says. But it's because we're in radio, so you never see us.
That's why I didn't want to say that.
What big picture it for me. What year are we in now?
This is year 33. This is our 33rd Film Fest DC, and we're very proud of that.
Yeah, and it used to be called the Washington International. It was just called Washington, D.C. International Film Fest. And when did you adopt the Film Fest DC moniker?
About 5 years in. We found Washington, D.C. International Film Festival was a mouthful for people. So we became Film Fest DC, sort of just trips off the tongue.
Give us a sense of, I don't know if you have actual attendance numbers at your fingertips specifically, but just give us a sense of how much it's grown since 30-some years ago to now. Like, how small of an operation when it first began, do you know?
When it first began, we had an audience of about 5,000 people, and we were very pleased with that. It was our first year. We were learning how to do things. We had a lot of help. Now, our last year, we hit 16,000 people, and this year feels the ticket sales have been very strong, so we expect that we might exceed that.
That's awesome. And what venues are we at again? Was last year over at Mazza, E Street?
You got both of them. over the years, we have consolidated the locations. So now, as you mentioned, we just have two major venues. One is Landmark E Street, and the other is AMC Mazza Gallery. And they're on different ends of the town. So it allows people around the city to find a spot they can go to and feel comfortable in.
But both very metro accessible, no excuses.
Metro accessible, also restaurants. There are activities and amenities around each of these venues. So people, while they're waiting to catch a film, they can go have a meal.
Awesome. Well, there's so many really great quality film festivals in town. What would you say is what makes you guys different? Obviously, you've got the international aspect, but also, I think you might. Are you the longest running? Might be.
We were the first.
Yeah.
We were the first film festival in Washington, D.C., and our initial success showed other people that it could be done and it could be fun. It can contribute to the vitality of the city. Your point is that we're an international film festival. We don't have any theme except what we see to be reflected in the kinds of films people around the world are making. So we gather those films. We see hundreds of films every year, put together a program that we think is suitable for Washington, D.C. Then we go at it, we present it, and so far people have been responding.
And final question before we dive into the actual movies themselves, the actual slate, but speak broadly about why that's important to you to scour the globe for these international films that people probably wouldn't see otherwise. Why it helps, you know, a local D.C., Maryland, Virginia resident, they come to this festival, how it just helps them open their eyes to what else is going on out there in the world.
The exhibition scene, the film exhibition scene in the United States is dominated by Hollywood films. So if you just have a diet of, films with explosions and people being shot and silly kinds of romantic comedies, and that's all you have, it's like eating at McDonald's every day. It's not going to help you. So what festivals like ours do is we go and find the films outside of the United States that might not have mass commercial appeal, but would appeal to thoughtful people who are aware that there are other people in the world or other cultures in the world want to learn about them, appreciate their point of view, and bring them to Washington, D.C. and present them because, as you point out, most likely they're not going to be able to be seen any other way.
Yeah, can't have McDonald's every day.
Can't.
It might taste really good in the moment, but you're going to be hurting after.
and I'm not saying Hollywood kinds of films are bad or poisonous or rot our minds out.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that is not the only way. People live in multiple ways and do the same things in different ways. And our festival helps the audience understand that. And what I found by seeing a lot of films, I'm not the only one, is that how much alike we really are. We all want our families to do well. We all want to live healthy lives. We want to live in peace. And seeing so many films from so many points of view, you sort of get that the human experience is what we're about. And these films exhibit that.
Yeah, I think who was it? Well, I think it was Roger Ebert, I think, said that film was the ultimate empathy machine.
Yes.
So you sit there, the lights go out, you're just, you know, you get sucked into it, and suddenly, you know, you're a young boy living in Calcutta, you know what I mean?
Like, yes.
You get to see, you get to experience it through other people's lens.
You do. You get to see that point of view that is not like your daily point of view, and you begin to appreciate it. And you begin to appreciate, in some cases, what we have here in the United States, and others don't. And then you also begin to understand that people who live in other cultures live very productive, very fulfilling lives. And we want to share that and see that and know that we're not alone on this planet and et cetera, et cetera. And film allows that. And just one other little thing,
sure,
is that now with the predominance of streaming, Netflix, Amazon Studios, that people can sit at home, and we can sit at home on our couch and watch these films, maybe with a couple of friends.
Sure.
There is nothing like going to a movie theater where with an audience who is there with you watching a film, sharing that experience. That can't be matched by watching a film on a cell phone. Just can't be done. And then in the festival environment, you begin to talk to people about what you've just seen. And that is just very special. And that's the way a film, when you go in to see it, when you come out, you're a different person. You're slightly different than before you went into the movie theater. And a festival like Film Fest DC that shows, you know, 80 films over a short period of time, and people come regularly and have this conversation, this dialogue about what they've seen. For we who do that, that's a very special gift.
Absolutely. All right. We've covered the broader strokes.
Yes,
let's dive into the
movies.
All right.
We're all
good.
Right. All right.
All right. So I know each year you guys, you break all the different movies. You said 80 films. You break them down into special categories of, you know, common themes, let's say. So what are some of the, you know, what name a category and maybe a film or two in it.
Okay. All right. Here we go. So this year we're doing a special series called Food Flicks, and they're films about food. There's 6 international films about master chefs, about restaurants, about food and cooking. But it's not just food porn. In other words, it's not just pretty pictures of food. We're bringing in some chefs, major chefs in Washington, D.C., to talk about what it's like to run a restaurant, to be a chef. So it's not just about the food. Mm-hmm. It's about the people who are creating this food from all over the world. And we have major folks coming in to talk about it. Aaron Silverman, who owns Rose's Luxury and
Pineapple
Emperor. Yeah. And some other folks. We have a woman who is the head sommelier at the Inn at Little Washington.
Yes.
And she's the chief sommelier there. And we have a film called The Best Sommelier in the World, where there is a contest that takes place to win that prize. And she's going to talk about being a sommelier beyond the taste of the wines and what she had to go through to get where she is.
So, yeah, not just the pretty pictures of the food displayed, but a little bit of the backstory and the entrepreneurial spirit behind it all, too. All right, cool. What's another category? Isn't there usually like a thriller mystery one, too?
Yeah, we call it Trust No One.
I love that.
Okay. So in this section, we have a very special DC film. It's called DC Noir. And it's a film by George Pelinkanos. George Pelinkanos is a highly recognized, highly Washington, D.C. guy. People know him from The Wire, writing there. He's written New York Times best-selling books. And he did this film. And it's a very Washington, D.C. thriller. It's about the streets of Washington, D.C. and the young men and women who find themselves ensorrelled in this the crime underground of Washington, D.C. We've just about sold that out. I was looking at tickets this morning. But I know we will have some. But it's really interesting, and George is going to come and talk about the film.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then we have another film that is, it's kind of hard to describe this film. It's called Profile. and it's a film about a young woman. She's a journalist, and she starts to go in and try to find out more about these terrorist organizations that have attracted these younger women to come and be part of what they're doing. And she finds herself being deeper into this than she really wanted to be. But it's the film is not only a thriller, but it's a modern thriller. It's a thriller. Most of the time, she's on the online talking to these people. Mm-hmm. So you begin to get into the world, what they call the black internet or something like that. Okay. You know, this underworld of thrillers. So it's those are a couple that we have this year.
Awesome. What's another category?
Another category. We do a section called The Lighter Side, which are international comedies. And this is a fun area, and it also is indicative that there's that things in just aren't as heavy as they were last year in the film production world. A couple years ago, films were kind of heavy, political, critical of one side or the other side. And I think that at least our audience, and definitely in Washington, D.C., we can use lightening up because it can get very serious
for
here.
For sure.
Right. So we have these comedies, and there's one comedy called Simple Wedding, and actually it's a U.S. comedy. And this is a very, very fresh American film. It's about a young lady who she's Iranian American, first generation. Her family, upper middle class, and the family feels it's time for her to get married and keeps trying to set her up with nice Iranian boys. But she really is in love with an American guy who she's living with, and the family finds out about this and insists that she get married. So this wedding, of course, gets set up and on and on. And we're bringing the director in from California to talk about the film.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a number of directors coming in. Then there's another film called Hopelessly Devout, and it's a film from Spain, and it's about a church, and there's a woman who who has been in charge of a lot of the lay activities, and all of a sudden they bring in someone new. And she doesn't like this, and her friends don't like it. So this usually very staid, devout woman all of a sudden becomes, you know. and it's a hoot. I must say it's a hoot.
Awesome. What's that one called again?
It's called Hopelessly Devout.
All right. Everyone check that out.
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. Then there's another film in that called Champions. And Champions is another Spanish film, and it was the number one grossing Spanish film last year. And it's about a guy who gets in trouble, and as part of having to pay for his misdeeds, he's told he has to coach this basketball team. We've heard this and seen this story before, but this is told in a whole different way, and it's very funny. I mean, it'll have you breaking up.
Awesome. Those three sound like side splitters. All right, another category. What do we got?
We I love this. This is we do a music category.
Yes, my father. That's right. Every year you do a music category.
We do it's called Global Rhythms. My father was a musician, and so I really like music and appreciate musicians and what they have to go through. One of the premier films in this section is a film called Echo in the Canyon. Which we saw and said, wow, we really want to show this film. This is a film about the Laurel Canyon, California area in the late 70s. And this was a time when there was this merge of folk and rock, so it's called folk rock. Mm-hmm. It's about the rise of groups like the Mamas and the Papas, the Byrds, the Buffalo Springfield.
I love all of that music, man.
It's great stuff.
It's a special time in music right there.
They created classics. Mm-hmm. And so you have interviews with some of these people who might still be around, and you have these great, great music clips from what they were doing, and it's just wonderful music. Now, this film is executive produced by Jacob Dylan, son of Bob Dylan.
Oh, wow.
Right? And so we've arranged for Jacob, and some of your audience might know, Cat Power.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Jacob, Cat Power are going to do this concert after the film. right?
Cool. Oh, they're going to play.
They're going to play. And it's going to be at the Lincoln Theater. Nice. It doesn't get a whole lot better than this.
Nope.
It doesn't get a whole lot better, you know? And we don't do a lot of music concerts. It's not our thing. But the opportunity was there. And I think this is going to be a special evening.
So the film will screen at, I guess, East Street or whatever. And then
No. The film's going to screen at the Lincoln.
At the Lincoln. All right. So it's all in one place.
All in one place.
That's hard to migrate everyone over to.
No.
Perfect. So that's like a special engagement over there.
Special engagement. They're coming in from out of town.
That's
They're excited
cool.
about playing D.C.
Yeah.
The film is great, and the concert just makes it very special.
That's great. Yeah. Oh, awesome. There you go. Son of Bob Dylan, get out there. Uh-huh. All right. What else? Maybe one more in the music category?
Well, there's so many. I'm looking at these.
I know. It's hard to pluck them out.
All right. So I'm going to do two quick. One is called It Must Swing. It Must Swing is a jazz film, and it's about Blue Note Records, which any jazz fan will know. It's about the beginning. These two Jewish brothers came to New York and fell in love with jazz and created this album called Blue Note, and all the major iconic jazz musicians were there. Mm-hmm. And then we're showing a film called Le Grand Ball. Le Grand Ball is a French film. And it's for people who love to dance. I mean, if you love to dance, this is the film for you. It's about...
Who doesn't love to dance? Well, I know a couple people, I guess. I love it.
All right. So the people love to dance to the extent that every year, about 2,000 people gather outside of Paris in this big camp facility thing. And for 5 days, just about a week, they do nothing but dance. They dance to all kinds of music. They play into the night. You get up in the morning, you rest up, you start dancing some more. And it's the joy in the faces of some of those folks is just wonderful. I mean, I love to dance.
Yeah.
And I saw this and I said, wow. You know, there's some films in the festival where we want to, we have a personal kind of thing about them. And we know it's not for everybody, but this film is one for me that I said, wow, I mean, anybody who loves to dance is going to get this film.
That's so great.
Yeah.
All right. And one more in the, any others?
Well, let's see.
Or do you want to highlight in one more category real fast?
Justice Matters.
Okay.
Justice Matters is our social justice section. It's a place where we talk about social issues, a call for action where we think some action is needed. I did some great films in this section. One is called Dear Walmart. It's a film. It's a locally produced film. And it's about a group of Walmart employees who want to push the company to just provide them with more income so they could take care of their families. And they've had some success at it. And so some of the folks will be coming in from around the country. It's the world premiere of this film.
Oh, cool.
The directors obviously will be there. Excuse me. So it's going to look at this issue of providing enough income for people so they can have a living wage.
Were they just making minimum wage?
They were making Walmart minimum wage.
Wow.
One of their successes was they got it up to $9 an hour.
Now, How do you live off of that?
I got me. And they say, look, you know, we don't mind. We like working at Walmart, you know, but, you know, we got to be able to live and have a job. So,
seriously.
And they've been there for a while. So it's, you know, to have all those folks there talking about and learning, another way of learning about other people's point of view in their life.
And world premiere. First time you can ever see this one. All right.
Yeah, first time. And then we're showing a film called Rafiki. Rafiki is a film from Kenya, and it's a feature film. It's not a documentary. It's about two young ladies who find out that they really love each other and care for each other. But lesbianism, homosexuality, is banned legally
in Kenya.
And so not only do their families turn against them, the authorities turn against them, the pressure on them to try to maintain the relationship, I don't want to keep, you know, give out the ending of the film.
You got to come see it.
You got to come see it. But again, it's, you know, another culture that has problems and how they handle them.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Well, I think that's. I think we hit about what five, six categories. There's a million. There's a ton more films. You got to go on the website. It's filmfestdc.org. Before we run, just in closing, why should our folks come on out?
Well, one reason this year is we've been doing this, as you mentioned, for 33 years. I think that the group of films in this year's festival is special. We have tried real hard to find films that we think are outstanding and to present them to Washington, D.C. And we've had an indication our ticket sales as of now are higher than they were mm-hmm. last year. So I think folks should come. But then also, and is because of digital and technological improvements, the ease of making films has increased. And they're more films being made every year. Plus, there are now venues. Streaming has allowed for more outlets for these films. So folks can see a lot of films. What a festival does, what we do, is to bring what we think are the best of what's available. It'll save you some time, and maybe you'll see something that might spark you to go see something similar in the future. We love doing this event. It's a privilege to do this event in Washington, D.C. especially. And we think, we feel we did a good job this year. So I hope people come out and join us and have fun and come say hi to me when they see me wandering around the theater trying to find my way.
Awesome. Are you usually at Mazda or E Street if we want to count? You're back and forth.
We move around. Yeah. We move around. You know?
I didn't know what was the best spot for a Tony Giddens sighting, but.
I don't know where that is either. But during the festival, you know, it's a real pleasure to go out and talk to folks and sure. to hear their reaction to what we're doing. And then there's some people who've been coming for years who we consider friends and to say hi to them again this year.
And some have even met and fallen in love.
They have. We've had weddings.
Seven weddings.
No, we've had weddings, multiple relationships. Yeah. I wouldn't know about the relationships, but yeah. the weddings I do know about, and we've had them coming out of people volunteering or just meeting someone there at the movie theater.
That's so cool. All right, everybody, again, it's Film Fest DC, Washington, D.C. International Film Fest from April 25th through May 5th. Tony, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jason. Always good seeing you, man.
Always a pleasure. Yeah. And welcome to the new digs.
Thanks for having us. Oh, it's a beautiful place. I'm moving in.
Thanks, man.